am I going to get a reward in heaven? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. This is Friday, and as per usual, my pastor comes in on Fridays, and he joins me as we answer some of the thousands of questions we receive.
With great wisdom and integrity.
That's right.
Yes.
Profound. In fact, someday somebody's going to dig this up in some archaeological dig, the digital tape or the hard drive on the computer or, you know, a CD about these, and they're going to say, man, so profound.
I know.
In fact, let's talk about that some more. I like this. Guys, we are not profound, but we're honest, and we have a lifelong study of the Bible between us, and we try to be as faithful to that and as honest as we know how, and we love to get your questions. You got to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you want to get a response. And you always do on the broadcast or the magazine or from me or from one of the staff people. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get a lot of neat free stuff from that number, and you can make a contribution. However, you got to write out your question, and you'll get some answers from us. Hey, listen, one more time, don't forget about the Poop Pastors Conference. That's going to be so much fun. And if you want to see your pastor's life changed and his ministry revitalized, you tell him about this. He can go to our webpage. That's keylife.org. That's www.keylife.org. Get a lot of information. Or if you'll give us a call, we'll send some brochures out to you. But this can be a life-changing experience. We're not going to change the world. We're not going to be a fellowship of soldiers who are going to learn how to kill off the enemy. We're not going to teach you how to have a bigger church. We're not going to teach you how to raise more money or do a building program properly. We're going to create a place where flowers can grow.
Mm. You know, so many pastors are dropping out of the ministry these days.
So true. And so, If you just, there it is. I've been looking for that note. I couldn't remember the dates. It's January 23rd through 25th. Pete, would you lead us in prayer? We'll get to these questions.
All right. Father, we do come to you in prayer today. Just grateful that we belong to you and that Jesus has been good for us, fulfilling the law for us and then giving to us his righteousness. And we're grateful and humbled because of all that you have done for us. You've done everything. You even came after us when we didn't want anything to do with you. So, Lord, we mess up so much. We sin. We don't want to. But we do come to you at the end of this week, and we confess our sins. We tell you that we want to be close to you and ask that, Lord, you would move close to us as we move close to you again. Prepare our hearts to worship on Sunday and this weekend, whenever that might be. Lord, we ask that you would meet us and help us to look up and look at how big you are and how majestic and wonderful you are. Be with our leaders who will stand before us and, in a sense, stand in your place, leading us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And so we just ask for your blessing upon them. Be with Steve and this ministry of Key Life. We are so grateful for it and all that you have done in our lives through this ministry. And we pray that that would continue and that you would be honored and glorified. We give this time to you now as we pray. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. This Pete is from Florida. What does the Bible teach about our receiving rewards in heaven? Are there no differences in our rewards in the next life relative to the nature and depth of our sin?
Well, I suppose it depends on what we do. I was thinking about your comment during the break. You said, you know, you could be you can't be a saint, but you could be a martyr if they kill me fast.
Yeah, right. Listen, I'm gonna be happy with the check. I'm not even looking for crowns.
So, if they kill you, are you for Jesus?
Do
are
you
gonna get
some
do you
crowns?
Get a reward?
And like you know, a lot of the terrorists who say that you get. You know, you get all the virgins and all the fancy food and the castles and stuff.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
If you do all that. You know, that's why the nature, this is, you can find this in 1 Corinthians 3, but I think, maybe I'm giving the wrong reference.
No, you're right there.
Good for me.
No, you're right. You're a navigator, man.
You know what?
1 Corinthians 3.
I should get a reward for that.
I know. I think you should.
Let me tell you something about rewards. That I believe with all my heart. I believe the people who get them aren't going to expect them. And the people who expect them are not going to get them. Because I don't believe the rewards. You know, it's like saying, all right, there are 10 commandments. I fulfilled 8 of them. What are you going to give me?
Well, it's like when go ahead.
You know, I was just going to take that further, and I've already gone far enough. Or are you going to say?
Well, we're not. We don't. The New Testament, I think the Bible, we can honestly say, does promise rewards. It does. And it's a motivating factor for us. But the reality is if our salvation is not based upon our works, and so our rewards cannot necessarily be based upon our own works, but what God does through us, which to me is the amazing thing.
Yes.
He gives us salvation as a gracious free gift. And then he says, I'll work in you. It is God who is at work in us to will and to do for his good pleasure, it says in Philippians.
Yes.
And then he rewards us. Now, is that grace or
that's
what?
Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal at all.
You know, there's a sense in which in which this teaching on rewards when we get to heaven, if we teach that too much, becomes the sole motivation for our obedience.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we become. Do you know the person that I really ticked me off when I was in school was the teacher's pet?
Oh. Well, you were a little boy, and I was too, and we all hated them.
No, yeah, just, you know, I think when we get to this, we're gonna get to heaven, and God and Jesus is not gonna say, "I have somebody who brought me an apple."
Yeah,
who did
right.
all their homework assignments?
Right,
who did everything right, and so you come up here to the head of the class, and you'll sit here. I really believe that we're gonna be really surprised, mm-hmm. and so are the people who receive them. And I think in every case, the crown. Let me ask you something else that just occurred to me, and I'm probably going to wish I hadn't said it, but you ever, I do, I you need to know that before I ask you, you ever have somebody that when they're successful, you're a little depressed? You know, the Pentecostal
sure.
pastor up the street,
yeah.
and he's got 8,000 members, and he just started 2 weeks ago, and you're trying to pay off the bills. Well, that happens to me sometimes. Mm. And I think in heaven, it's not going to be like that at all.
Right.
We're going to be cheerleaders. We're going to say, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And he didn't expect it. And in heaven, God's going to get all the crowns. He's going to get a crown. Jesus is going to get a crown because of his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And that's why your imagery, if crowns represent rewards, we're going to cast them at his feet because
yes.
we are so cognizant of the reality that he did it through us.
That's true.
And you're right. And I think you're right. When we get to heaven, 1 John 3:2 says, we'll see him as he is. We will be transformed.
Yeah.
And we won't have any doubt of where any of the goodness or grace came from.
Yeah. I like it.
Good.
We're so humble about it, too, aren't you?
I thought that was rather
right.
good.
Yeah, right.
But God did that through us, so...
How long, this is from Ohio, how long should we persevere in prayer when God simply does not answer?
Hesitations 4:1 says 6 weeks.
Jesus said keep on.
Yeah.
That whole seek means keep on seeking.
Mm-hmm. Present tense.
Yeah.
Present continuous action.
Aren't there some times when you just say, I'm praying about this. I took somebody off my prayer list recently.
Hope it wasn't me.
No.
Oh, good.
No, I'm still praying for your salvation. I mean, your pastor really ought to be saved. It's not going to work the way. But I really did. I felt in prayer. I've been praying for these people for a very long time. I felt released. I felt like I don't have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll still be there if they need me. But I'm just not going to keep persevering. I don't feel like I have to pray for this. And I can't explain that, but I felt... And on the other hand, I prayed for my father's salvation for years and years and years. And 3 months before he died, he was saved.
Mm.
So maybe it's a maybe it is a spiritual thing, a sense that this is not something I need to pray about anymore, either because God has said yes or because God has said no, and I have a definite answer at that point.
Steve, I think you're exactly right. I remember years ago a friend telling me that he had a request that was for himself, and he just said, you know, I stopped praying about that. Mm-hmm. It just didn't seem appropriate anymore.
Yeah.
And I think the Holy Spirit has a way of weeding out our prayer requests that don't seem right anymore.
Can we ask God for anything?
Yeah, I think so. Except for, you know, asking him to help us sin or to cheat somebody.
We can even ask him that. He's going to say no.
Right. No is an answer to prayer.
Yeah, very definite answer to prayer. That's good. Let's see how we got some time. Did people have the Holy Spirit before Jesus?
My understanding of the quick answer to that biblically is yes, but not consistently as believers do today. So David had the Holy Spirit, but he cried, "Do not take the Holy Spirit from me." Mm-hmm. So for unique ministries, they did. I don't know. How would you say?
No,
I'm
not sure technically. I know there is a difference. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. You think I ought to have an answer to this.
It's a very good book, but that one you just didn't deal with.
I just didn't deal with this answer, with this question. But it's obvious the Holy Spirit is present, acting, convicting, leading, guiding in the Older Testament. But it's not the same thing. And I like the way you said it.
Well, there is that sense in which, as you look in Acts 2, the promise of the Holy Spirit is poured out. They were looking forward to that as a manifestation in the new covenant. That just was one of those things I looked ahead to.
And your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men.
And young men prophesy, and old men dream. Or something like that.
Listen, the previous question, it was so profound. This one is really bad. We're not even getting the scripture right on this one. Let me see if I can get, who did Cain marry? That's from Ohio, too.
An alien?
Come on, Pete.
No, I mean, the only person he could have married would have been his sister.
Now, that was pre-law that was given at that point. Mm-hmm. And the reason I believe the law is given is because of the biological bad stuff that comes as a result of that, too.
That's right.
So, Cain married his sister.
That's it. That's the only answer we have.
Kind of makes you wince, doesn't it? I tell you guys, we're out of here. Give us the call letters, would you, whenever you write or call. And a lot of wonderful people make this broadcast possible, and we like to know who they are. And then one other thing before we leave, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.